Well, I once again desire your prayers. The Lord would be with us today. Perhaps we could go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you for another day. Thank you for this assembly this morning. We ask you, Lord, that you would bless our time together. It would be profitable, Lord, that you would bless the Word. Ask that your Holy Spirit would convey to our hearts the meaning that is in it. We need you desperately, Lord, to guide us in life. And we look to you and your Spirit to show us the way. Bless us together this morning, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I appreciate the Lord's goodness to us and all that He does for us and the many ways that God stands by us in life, the way that He helps us. I have a lot on my mind this morning, and I'm desiring that the Lord would just take it in the direction that He wants it to go, but the burden of my heart is basic principles. In the book of Revelation, in the 5th chapter, read a passage beginning with the first verse. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" No man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. John, this is the vision that John saw on the Isle of Patmos. And John gives a description of many things that were brought to his mind, that the Lord brought to him. He said he was in the Lord's day on the Isle of Patmos. And while he was there, the Lord started opening up some things to John, and he told him to write. There were certain things that John saw that the Lord told him not to write. We don't have any idea what those things were. He said, write it not. I don't know what those things were, what the Lord... As I know that the Scripture tells us that the secret things belong to God. But in this little passage, there was a circumstance presented. There was a book presented, and no created intelligence was able to open that book. I don't suppose John knew what the contents of the book were, but apparently the weight of it on his mind was that there was something very vital, something important for humanity. But it wasn't able to be opened. It couldn't be presented to mankind because there was a search made and there was no created intelligence that was able to open that book and loose the seals. But John looked at that scene and he wept much over it. And then it says, "One of the elders saith to me, Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and loose the 7 seals thereof." After this was opened, there was rejoicing around the throne. And I believe that what was happening here was all that God had in mind for mankind was to be presented. The Lion of the tribe of Judah prevailed and opened the book. Today, folks, we're beneficiaries of Christ's mission and His ministry to us. Some time ago, we had a few little messages about one was the divinity or the humanity of Christ. One was the heart of God. And on the message on the divinity or the humanity of Christ, I believe we mentioned that there was basically three reasons for Christ's mission. One was that He was the complete sacrifice, the only sacrifice. Jesus was the only one. We read in the adult Sunday school class this morning, the miraculous conception of our Lord. Jesus was the only one that was capable of being that perfect sacrifice so that we could have remission of sin. It couldn't come any other way. I think sometimes that we oversimplify that, but there was no other way, folks, no other way for me, for you, to have forgiveness of sins except through Jesus. God had reached a point to where He had become weary with the sacrifices. It had been profaned, it had been abused. We read, I believe it's in the book of Malachi, where there was an exchange between God and the people, God and the prophet. And He said that you've done certain things and I'm displeased. And the people immediately responded, when did we do it? And you know, that's something when God is speaking and He tells you you've done something wrong, to stand up in His face and make defense for yourself is a dangerous thing to do. But apparently what had happened is, for so long there had been an abuse of, a taking for granted of the sacrifices. He even reached the point, He said, at first it was designed to set up the absolute best. No crippled, no blind, no blemish in any way as a sacrifice. You bring the best. But along passages of time, people began to put their own ideas and thoughts on it. And they brought to the Lord the crippled. They brought to Him the diseased. And He says, you bring these to me now. And how can I accept this? And He said, well, when did we do that? And it's a shame for humanity to come to that point, to contend with God. But God had become weary of the sacrifice system, and He wanted something different and something better for man. And there was no other way except through a complete, perfect atonement. Jesus was that atonement. Jesus was the only answer to sin. So the three basic, the fundamentals there were that, one, Christ was the perfect atonement for sin. Two, that He was to present to humanity the heart of God. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father and it sufficeth us. Jesus said, Philip, have I been here all this time and you haven't seen the Father? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. He chided Philip a little bit about that. Jesus was here for the sacrifice for sins, yes, and He was here to show us the Father, to show us the heart of the Father, His love. And folks, as we read throughout the New Testament, the four Gospels, we read the accounts, the encounters that Jesus had with people, with their situations in life. The woman taken in adultery, caught in the very act, brought to the Lord and presented to Him. And the scribes and Pharisees said to Jesus, now the law, Moses and the law say should be stoned. Now what do you say? Jesus didn't say a whole lot, did He? He stooped down and wrote in the dirt. He wrote some more in the dirt. And He looked up and said, well, whoever is without sin among you, you cast the first stone at her. This was the heart of God. See, this is what Jesus was presenting to mankind, was the heart of God. And they looked at that situation, they looked at one another, and one by one they began to walk away. Jesus was stooped down again, writing in the dirt. Who knows what He was writing? Maybe He had their names and their discrepancies out beside their name. I don't know what He wrote in the dirt. But one by one, they turned and walked away, and Jesus looked up and said, woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She saith to Him, no man, Lord. He says to her, neither do I condemn thee. And you go and sin no more. That's a blessing, folks. If you had the sentence of death pronounced upon you for your sin, which we had, And then there was a means of release from that and able to go on and live my life. Now, Jesus didn't say, you just go on away from here and do the best you can. He said, you go and sin no more. What we need to realize is that we've been given a wonderful opportunity, a wonderful release, a wonderful way of escape, as the Scripture says. A way of escape. We've been given that way of escape, and we have an opportunity now, and our responsibility is to go on forth from that place and live responsibly before the Lord. Lord, you've given me so much opportunity here. You've granted mercy to me beyond what I could comprehend, and you've given me the chance to go on and live my life. And then that He showed us how that we could live victoriously in this life. In the face of great opposition, He showed us how He got on His face and begged before His Father for mercy and for strength. When He came to His hour of greatest passion, He fell on His face. The Scripture tells us He fell three times. He fell on His face before the Lord. The Scripture says His sweat was as it were great drops of blood. Father, if there's any way, if there's any other way to let this thing pass from me, please let it pass. But if it's the only way that this can be this way, then I'll drink the cup. And He said, well, nevertheless, not my will but thine be done. Went to His disciples and saw Him there asleep. He was distressed in that. Folks, that's a deep message too. To show us how that we can live victoriously in this life. It didn't come just by Him walking a road. It didn't come just by Him having friends around Him. It came sometimes by Him going off alone and bearing His soul before His Father. Just weeping, weeping, weeping on the ground before Him. And the Lord giving Him the grace, the courage, and the strength to face whatever it was He had to face. Remember, He had taken on humanity. He had taken on, and He had a relationship with His disciples, the apostles. He had a relationship with the people. He built friendships. And He knew that was going to be taken away. And He also knew that there were going to be those who would try to come in after Him and destroy and scatter the flock. But He had faith, and He believed. He was our sacrifice. He showed us the heart of God, and He showed us how to live victoriously in this life. Now, I'd like to turn to the book of Mark. Second chapter. A little bit of reading here. And again he entered, and with the first verse beginning, second chapter, first verse of Mark. And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noise that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No. Not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they come to him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there, reasoning in their hearts, Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately, when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he saith unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say unto the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise, and take up thy bed and walk. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose and took up the bed and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion. Now let's think about this. I want to try to take a little bit of time to break this, tear this apart, break it down piece by piece some here. Basic principles. Basic principles. Jesus was presenting His earthly ministry. He was teaching the gospel. He was impacting the lives of people. He was going about doing good to all men. He was healing. On this occasion, this man who had the palsy couldn't do anything for himself. Four men carried him on his bed, tried to get to the Lord in the house, couldn't get in the front door or any door because of the throng, the crowd that was pressed there. They couldn't get to the Lord that way, so they climbed up on the roof, tore that apart, let the man down through the roof, onto the floor, right there by Jesus. Quite a scene, wasn't it? All of a sudden, the roof's coming apart, and you see this guy come being let down. I suppose they had ropes or some type of something. They let him down on his bed, all four of them up there, letting him down, one on each corner, into the room. Jesus is looking there at the situation and saying, well, what's the need here? Here's one that's got the palsy. And he looks on the man, and those who had brought the man to the Lord brought him because they wanted to see him healed. Jesus looked on the man and said, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Now, I don't expect that's quite what the man wanted to hear. I don't expect that's quite what the four who brought him there expected to hear. Thy sins be forgiven thee. We want to see him healed. He's been sick. He's our friend. We've gone through all this effort. We come to this point and we let him down through the roof because we want to see something miraculously done for him. So Jesus looks on that and says, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Well, he's called on the carpet for that. Scribes and Pharisees said, why is this man blaspheme? There's only one that's able to forgive sins, and that's God. He's the only one that can forgive sins. Jesus says, well, why do you reason this way in your heart? What's easier to say? Is it easier for me to say, son, thy sins be forgiven thee, or take up thy bed and walk? Well, here it is, so that you'll know that I have power to forgive sins. Son, take up your bed and walk. So the man got up, took up his bed, and walked away from there. So that left them scratching their head a little bit. But my point here is looking at this and saying, Lord, what is the main purpose of your mission here? What was the main purpose that you came to this earth for? Folks, I want you to know that I believe that the atonement of Christ covers as far as a man will let it atone. As far and as deep as a man will consecrate himself and can consecrate himself before the Lord, the blood of Jesus reaches to that point. It'll reach the depth of a man. It'll save a man. It'll heal a man. We've seen many, many times over the years miraculous things done by trusting and believing in the Lord. I'm going to be honest with you here for a little bit. I have felt so many times so intimidated when I go and pray for someone who has asked prayer when they're sick. I'll tell you why. Because I read that scripture that says they'll pray the prayer of faith and the sick shall recover. And I look at that and I'm going to be quite honest with you. I don't have any salvation to give. I don't have any grace to give. I don't have any healing to give. And I feel somewhat intimidated in those situations. And I do believe, folks, I believe just as much as anyone else in here believes that God's purpose and His plan for His children is to have successful lives, free from sin. And He wants to do everything that a man wants him to do in his life. But the main focus, the main purpose of Christ's mission was forgiveness of sins, because folks, without forgiveness of sins, we're in a wretched, desperate, miserable condition. Without forgiveness of sin in this world, folks, think of it. Think of where we would be if there was no propitiation for sin, if there was no release from sin, if there was no fight, block, wall against sin. What a wretched place this world would be. It's dark, wicked, and evil enough as it is. But because there was a Christ, because there is a Christ, because there is forgiveness of sins, because there is a plan yet in act, in action, where a man can humble himself before the Lord, call on God, and have forgiveness of sin, there is a wall that still is built against the influence and the effects of sin in this life. So Jesus said to the sick of the palsy, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Thy sins be forgiven thee." Now, I know Jesus knew their hearts. But it struck me as he looked on that scene and they murmured against him and said, "Who do you think you are, forgiving sins?" Well, which is easier to say, "Son, thy sins forgiven thee," or "Take up your bed and walk"? "But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power to forgive sins, I say to the man, arise, take up your bed and walk." Folks, that kind of hushed the mouths of the critics, wouldn't it? "So you will know that I have power to forgive sins. Arise and take up your bed and walk." So he did. Today, we face so many obstacles in life, folks. We face so many issues in life. We face so many advances in life. I've been ministering now for, 20 years. And I've seen the encroachments of the enemy on God's people. I've seen how he tries to tear down walls of separation. I've seen the decay of morality, seen the decay of principles. I've seen those things. I see those things in my time, in my life. I'm not old, but I've seen those things. Many of you have too. I've seen the decline in our nation just in my short time. I've seen the decline of morality. I've seen the impact. I've seen how much of an impact the divorce rate has had on the children of God. Those things that are in the world that have pressed in and come in to the camp and had their impact and influence. Because, folks, the truth is every man has a will. We make decisions and choices as we're trying to follow the Lord and live for Him. And we make decisions. We marry and we rear families under those guidelines. And we find out that it doesn't always work the way we thought it would work. We talked a little bit about that last Sunday. It doesn't always turn out the way we thought it would turn out. The enemy comes in and tries to do things and take things away from us. The Scripture says he's not come but for to steal, to kill, and destroy. He's all too successful at that. He takes things like the internet. He takes things like that have such a very valuable use. We've talked recently about the messages and the songs and the opportunities that are there from churchofgodeveninglight.com and churchofgodpreaching.com, churchofgodsinging.com. Those things are valuable tools, and people around this world have access to those things and can hear a message, hear singing. And I'm very thankful for that. The enemy also knows how to use that tool and cause there to be a complete destruction of moral fabric, to tear down family relationships. He knows how to use those types of things to completely destroy the family unit. He knows how to get in there, put his foot in the door, and take advantage of those things. He knows how to take advantage of our walk with the Lord. He knows how to take advantage of us in life whenever we're dealing with issues, dealing with situations, and we are trying our best that we know and understand to live for the Lord. I want us this morning to be reassured and comforted that the basic fundamental thing that Christ came for was for forgiveness of sin. And when we find forgiveness of sin, we start walking down that road of a life of purity and holiness and righteousness. We find that the Lord begins to deal with us, talk to us about a deeper relationship. That's what God wanted. He wants us to be restored to that relationship that He had with Adam and Eve in the garden before the transgression. He desires that close, personal, one-on-one contact with us that He had with them. And He's working all along the way to restore us to that place. So He offers to us that sanctification process where I die to myself. And I submit myself to God, and I totally consecrate myself to Him and say, "Lord, whatever You want from me, whatever You want of me, it's all Yours. I leave it here before You, and I walk on my life the best way I know how. Just give me the strength and help to go along the way." And folks, what happens is As we start that process, God begins to deal with us about issues in our lives. Basic principles. Basic things He starts to talk to us about, the things that He wants us to put away. Because He sees that they're causing us to have a difference, a different direction that causes us to be taken a little farther and farther away from Him in life. And as we begin to crucify those things, as we begin to cement our relationship with the Lord, He begins to talk to us and teach us about certain things along the way, about trusting in Him, about releasing all of our fears to Him, about putting everything on the altar before Him. And He comes down to a place where He talks to us even about our own lives. The Scripture tells us concerning the disciples, they love not their lives even to the death. There are certain things, folks, that we reach, places that we reach that God wants us to attain to, where we look to Him and we trust in Him and we believe in Him for every facet of our lives. That's the place He wants us to attain to. It's not always easy to get there, is it? It takes a lifetime of living to be able to understand sometime and find those places. But it's the reason that you hear teaching. It's the reason that you hear preaching about divine physical healing. It's the reason you hear teaching and preaching about the entertainments of this world. It is because those are the things that God deals with a man about, because He wants that deeper, closer, personal relationship. It is the reason you hear teaching about the doctrines of the atonements concerning Christ. I believe it's Malachi 4 and 2. It says, "Unto you shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in His wings." I remember one time, Brother Nelson, his wife, Sister Janice, they were going through a real battle. She was a very sick lady. And Brother Nelson, hearing a testimony one time, I don't remember if it was a worship service or a prayer meeting, he said that we read where healing is the children's bread, and we're asking for the Lord to pass the bread. Amen. That's what the Lord wants us to do. He wants us to reach that place. But He also wants us to realize that there are basic principles, folks. As we go through life, we don't have any reason to look down on one another. We have issues of our own we've got to deal with in life. We have things like these basic principles. This man came into this building. They let him down through the roof. And Jesus looked on that man, all withered, dried, couldn't move, couldn't do anything for himself, sick of the palsy. Jesus looked on that and said, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." And they wanted to see him walk. Now, I don't know all that happened to him whenever Jesus said, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." I don't know what he felt. We don't read anything about his communication with the Lord. I don't know if he felt this totally clearing of peace in his heart, because he had just been released from any transgression in his life, because the Master, the Christ, Jesus, the Lamb of God, had just spoken to him, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." But those looking on said, "Who is this, and who does he think he is?" So then he said, "Arise, take up thy bed and walk." Now, the book of Luke, 23rd chapter, thirty-ninth verse, Jesus' crucifixion. "One of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation?" I think that's a rather dangerous place for the first one to be in, railing on the Christ, "Save thyself and us." But the other man said, "What are you talking about? We're in the same condemnation, and we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss." He said unto Jesus, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Sounds to me like the thief didn't even know what to say. He just said, Remember me when you come into your kingdom. He didn't ask for forgiveness. I don't guess. I guess it could be interpreted that way. But he did make some acknowledgement to the Lord as being the Lord. And he said, Remember me. Will you remember me? He chided the other one, saying, What are you talking about? Here we are, all three of us hanging here together. We're all hanging here to die. We're all three going to die. We've committed deeds worthy of this punishment, but this man hasn't done anything. And you're going to rail on him? Lord, would you please remember me when you come to your kingdom? And Jesus said, Son, this day you'll be with me in paradise. Now let's think about that just a little bit, please. Think about the power of the blood. I'm sharing my heart with you as much as anything this morning. Think about the power of the blood. Folks, think about the things that we have in our lives that God has dealt with us in the past that we didn't even know were there. Until He allowed something to come, maybe it was an affliction, maybe it was a trial, that turned the heat up a little bit and caused the dross to come to the top where I could see it. I didn't even know it was there. But the Lord helped me to see it. Now, think about the blood. Is the blood of Jesus capable of covering those things that I don't even know about? I say, yes, it is. I say, yes, it is. The blood of Jesus covers those things that are in my life that I can't even see, that I don't even know. But in process of time, if I live long enough, the Lord wants to bring those things to the surface with me, and if it's possible for me to see it and do something about it. I made a comment not long ago, if a man can be refined, if a man will be refined, God knows how to do it. God knows how to refine a man if he will be. If his heart is to be right, if his heart is to be clear, God knows how to refine that man. He knows how to allow things to come in his life to cause that dross to come to the top so it can be taken off. This man, this thief hanging on the cross beside the Lord had done deeds worthy of this crucifixion. Jesus looked at that man and said, Today you'll be with me in paradise. What if he had told the man you have to go make restitution first? How's he going to make restitution? He's hanging on the cross. You see where I'm coming from, folks? You see what the basic fundamental principles of the thing are? Forgiveness of sin. When this man was let down in this room by these other friends of his, let down in his bed, Jesus looked on that scene and said, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Well, wait a minute. That's not quite what we were expecting. I would imagine that the four fellows who let him down looked at him and said, Wait a minute. That's not why we broke up the roof. That's not why we let him down here. We let him down because we want to see him walk. We want to see him get up and go. We want to see him healed. We want to see him restored. And Jesus says, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. And he's still laying in his bed, just as crippled as he was before. Where's the victory? Where's the victory? The victory was right there in the forgiveness of sins, I say, folks. Oh, sometimes we look at this thing and sometimes we read the scripture. I wish somebody maybe could find it for me. Don't remember just how it's phrased, but and of some making a difference, pulling them even from the last minute, of some making a difference. Someone can find that scripture. Read that for me, Brother Steve.
Read 22. And of some have compassion, making a difference, and others saved with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the thorns.
Pulling them out of the fire. Some making a difference, pulling them out of the fire at the last minute.
The thief on the cross was pulled out of the fire. At the very last minute, pulled out of the fire. Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. If Jesus had said, I'm sorry, you can't do it, you've got to go make restitution before you can make it inside of God's heaven, folks, that would have been unfair to the thief on the cross. The Lord looked at that situation and said, I've got forgiveness for this. My blood covers way beyond what we can comprehend or imagine. And I have the power to forgive sins. Looking at this man in this room, laid on the bed, sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Who are you to say that you forgive sins? Only God forgives sins. Why do you blaspheme like this? Well, so you'll know which is easier, to say forgive sins or take up thy bed and walk. But so you will know that the Son of Man has power to forgive sins. I say to the sick of the palsy, arise, take up thy bed and walk. And he did. I hope by the help of the Lord and by the Holy Spirit today, we get the message here. The Lord is first and foremost concerned with forgiveness of sins. But he wants us to walk close to him. He wants us to live by the Word of God, by every principle in it. He wants to bring us to a place where we completely trust in Him. We completely rely on Him. We completely put ourselves before Him at His disposal so that He can do with us as He will. That's what we want from the Lord. I said at the beginning that the blood of Jesus, the atonement of Christ, at Calvary, reaches as far as a man will allow it to reach in his life. I believe that, folks. Just as far as a man will let it reach, it'll cover. It's not limited. God isn't limited. God that spoke all these things into existence, spoke creation into existence, the Word, all of these things are held in place, I believe the Scripture says, by that same Word, that everything is held in place, reserved unto judgment. By that same Word. There is no limit with God, folks. Every word that He spoke, by His Word, everything around us is held in place by the Word of God. By the power of God. It's unlimited power. It knows no boundaries. Whatever your circumstance is in life, whatever your situation is in life, God's power, Jesus Christ's atonement, is capable, fully capable of reaching to that area in your life. He is able. His hand is not shortened, and His ear is not heavy. Wherever you find yourself, God is able to reach that place. He is able to reach that place. I said recently, if someone were to ask me how much faith is enough faith, I'd have to hang my head because I can't answer that. How do you answer that? When Jesus said, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you say to this mountain, be thou removed, and cast into the sea, and it'd be done. I don't believe He's so concerned about a mountain being made level and taken off into the sea in a big splash. But He's concerned about the mountains in my life. Those issues in my life. Those things in my life that I deal with, that I have to reckon with. If I have faith in God, how much faith is enough faith? I don't know. But if I have enough faith to call on God and say, help me, Lord, I can't see God turning a deaf ear to that cry. Help me, Lord. I'm not preaching to you a permissive gospel this morning. I'm preaching to you a gospel that covers the basic fundamentals in a man's life, the basic principles, and it reaches as far in a man's heart and his life as he'll let it reach. Just as far as He'll let it reach. And you know, folks, when we're standing before the August Majesty God, we're going to stand before Him and we're going to give account for every dealing He has had with us in life. We're going to give account of that. God knows. He knows every one of us. He knows those things, those dealings He's had with us. He knows when we've backed up. He knows when we've moved forward.
He knows when we have made professions and testimonies. He knows if they're sincere. He knows if I'm trying to testify higher than I'm living. He knows that. He knows all of that. He knows how to help me get to the place that I need to be. The Apostle Paul said, I've learned how to be abased. I've learned how to abound. I've had everything and I've had nothing. I've learned how, in every area, I've learned to be content. I've learned to be content with plenty, and I've learned to be content with nothing. I've learned to be content even though I had 39 stripes on my back. I've learned to be content. I've learned to be content in all those things, and the reason was because he never lost sight of the basic principles in Christ, forgiveness of sin. Because when this thing is over, if I have laid hold on the basic fundamental principle of forgiveness of sins and pleaded the blood for my life, pleading, I hope you hear what I'm saying, pleading the blood, pleading the mercy, I have hope of making it inside of God's heaven. I believe it was Brother Austin Wilson's father, when he was near death, someone came to visit him, and I don't know all the words in the conversation, but anyway, making comment about his life and the things he had accomplished in life. And basically what his answer was, by the merits of the shed blood of Jesus, I hope to make it in. You see, folks, it doesn't come by our works, our accomplishments. It comes by the merits of the shed blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus, it covers all sin, covers all unrighteousness. And it'll cover those things, I believe it'll cover those things in my life that I can't even see. The thief on the cross that day when he said, Lord, remember me when you come to your kingdom. I don't know if he even knew how to ask for forgiveness. And he certainly didn't have time to fix everything. Just didn't have time to fix it all. And folks, let's think about that when we're dealing with one another. Let's think about that when we're dealing with souls, precious souls. There might be things that we see that we wish could be taken care of and like to see them working with and dealing with. And sometimes it needs to be done. I agree. Sometimes it needs to be done. But sometimes, if we're not careful, we'll try to exact things of people. It's just like asking the thief on the cross to make restitution. Go make restitution first. And the Lord's not pleased with that. He wouldn't be pleased with that. So may God help us. Be encouraged. Be reassured today that there is a God. There is an atonement. It'll reach as far as you'll let it reach in your life. Just as far as you'll let it go. And what the Lord is trying to do is call every one of us into a very deep, close, personal relationship with Him. Please pray for me. May God bless us each one. Amen.